welcome to Shattering Myths. If you'd like to participate in this program anytime over the next 3 hours, you can do so by calling toll-free 877-300-7645. Yes, indeed, the news is all about global cooling. After 2 weeks ago being absolutely paralyzed, Atlanta is once again under the siege of freezing rain, but this time following a similar episode in Portland, Oregon. And as I understand it today, that storm is going to deliver mostly heavy snows throughout the northeastern corridor, just west of I-95, going right over Charlottesville, Virginia, and then dumping almost a foot of snow on Washington, D.C. and Baltimore, while leaving 2 feet of snow in its core. It is time, perhaps, that we deal with global warming. I read with laughter yesterday as the nincompoop that the United States has as its president, speaking to his fellow communist in France. Amazing that they would spend all this money on a gala dinner for the man. Doesn't even have a girlfriend these days. Gone through two of them, I understand, in the last month. And his popularity rating in France, his approval rating in France, is about half of the president's. President's right now is at about high 30s, low 40s, and Holliday's is in the range of about 20%. So it's amazing that we would be spending this kind of money on him. But I heard that in addition to, of course, economic cooperation, which makes perfect sense, they're both communists, that there would be major cooperation on climate change. What are they going to do? Try to warm up the earth so that we don't suffer for such intense storms? You know, I'll still propose my my plan. Send all of the world's nukes, they're not doing us any good, into Jupiter. Try to ignite the planet into a small star, and we could have the rotisserie effect. Seriously, there is more news about James Spider Marks. Remember the general yesterday that we talked about that thought it would be just a swell idea to use drones to kill American citizens in America without so much as trial or conviction, without evidence, just simply blow them away. Well, he was back in the news. This time he's the featured spokesperson for condemning probably the most courageous, the American in the last generation, certainly the American with the greatest amount of character, moral fortitude. He was out speaking against Edward Snowden. And so this man that thinks it's just swell to go off and murder Americans with government drones without so much as a trial says that Edward Snowden is a traitor because he broke the rules. Well, under that basis, then the American Revolution, everyone was a traitor. Under that basis, anyone who fought for either side in the Civil War was a traitor, because even Lincoln changed all the rules and essentially negated most every aspect of the U.S. Constitution. Anyone that follows any aspect of gun control would be breaking the rules, too, because the Constitution doesn't allow them. Now, as for rules, most rules that are established by government, many if not most, need to be broken. When you have an immoral rule, when you have a rule that says that the rule of law and the basis of the rule of law, the Constitution, no longer matters, and what we're going to do is horribly wrong, if you do not break that kind of rule, then there's something desperately wrong with your morality. Anyway, he said that he's a traitor because he was accepting a paycheck while breaking the rules. So if that's true, is James Clapper, the head of U.S. intelligence gathering, a traitor because he was being paid by the U.S. government when he perjured himself before the American Congress, testifying under oath that the U.S. government was not engaged in collecting mass surveillance data? He lied, perjured himself, broke the rules. When the Spider-Man here, General Marks, advocated using drones to kill Americans without trial, while he was still receiving a paycheck, wouldn't that make him a traitor? For breaking the rules while being paid? Well, Spider-Man, yeah, he's making the rounds these days. He's also linked to a story justifying destroying all of the documentation of Osama bin Laden's murder by American special forces. Yes, indeed. We wouldn't want Americans to know the truth, would we? I'd like to return to a story that we first began reporting on over a week ago. Touched on it again on Monday. The story, if you will recall, begins by stating that the United Nations demanded that the Vatican immediately remove all clergy who are known to be suspected child abusers, and then immediately turn over to civil authorities all of those individuals, as well as all evidence pertaining to them. The tenses that they used and the statements that they ushered forth leave little doubt that according to the only international body to investigate the Vatican pertaining to its priestly pedophile scandal, thinks that the Vatican is still moving clergy around who are known pedophiles, allowing them to abuse children even as we speak, and that they are still covering up the crime to protect their image. That this is not something that occurred 5 years ago and has been corrected, 10 years ago and has been corrected, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, and 100 years ago and has been corrected. According to the United Nations, it's ongoing. I don't want to give the impression that the United Nations is the only body to evaluate the Roman Catholic behavior as it relates to abusing children and to find them wanting to expose and condemn them. It's just the only one to do it on an international basis. All of the others have done it on a national basis or a regional basis. The most telling case first appeared in the Boston Archdiocese, where the Roman Catholic Church lost hundreds of millions of dollars in a case where it was proven that they not only allowed their priests to abuse children, but they covered up the crime, committing two crimes, not one. This was followed by trials across the country, the most famous of which recently was Los Angeles, which caused the Pope Benedict, formerly Ratzinger, to resign. Most timely has been the court case in Chicago against the Roman Catholic Church. Same exact result. And, of course, the largest case in recent memory took place in Northern Ireland, where it was determined that the Roman Catholic Church over the past 50 years had abused over 30,000 children. But there's cases in every country in Europe, in most every country in Central and South America. The problem is pervasive. The United Nations, however, had the wherewithal to hold the Vatican accountable because the Vatican signed a treaty called the Rights of the Child. The UN watchdog for children's rights denounced the Holy See, which is the name for the Vatican, for adopting policies which allowed priests to sexually abuse thousands of children. The number is really hundreds of thousands, but thousands is a subset of hundreds of thousands. The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child said church officials had imposed a code of silence on clerics to prevent them from reporting attacks to police, and then moved abusers from parish to parish in an attempt to cover up such crimes. That is the only informed and rational decision that can be made. That is what the evidence consistently reveals. It is amazing, under that basis, then, that the Roman Catholic Church still exists. that there's any moron on this planet that goes to Mass, that offers a tithe, that considers themselves a Catholic, that will even associate with the organization, much less, as is the case in so many places around the United States and the world, sends their child to a Roman Catholic school. It's just got to be absolutely out of your mind to in any way associate with this repulsive organization. You know, in the United States, Penn State was appropriately exposed and condemned, and yet the perpetrator in the case of Penn State was singular, as opposed with the Roman Catholic Church, thousands of priests from around the world. The perpetrator was no longer affiliated with the university, whereas in the Roman Catholic situation, they're all paid, authorized, approved, ordained by the Roman Catholic Church. In the case of Penn State, they simply ignored some hints, some witness accounts that said, you know, I think you may have a problem with this this character. And those who were told that you may have a problem with this character, who didn't confront that problem, who didn't report that as thoroughly to the police as they should have, who didn't engage to protect the children, were all fired, and they were publicly disgraced. Two of them are under indictment and are being tried for their complicity. In the case of the Roman Catholic Church, there was a deliberate cover-up. Letters, evidence, proof, testimony of parents was all known. An avalanche of evidence. And they deliberately protected the pedophile priests, engaging in horrific abuse of their victims, moving these priests from parish to parish so they could continue their acts of pedophilia, all while covering up the crime to protect their image. In the case of the Roman Catholic Church is a million times, if not a billion times worse than Penn State, and yet no one seems to care. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm Yana. You can engage in this program toll-free, 877-300-7645. The United Nations told the Holy See that it must hand over an archive of evidence about the abuse of tens of thousands of children. Now, mind you, the United Nations 6 months ago wrote the Vatican and said, this is the data that you have in your possession, and that we want released. You know, it's if you are hiding evidence, if you're covering up a crime, that's a serious, serious issue. They continue to do so, however. The United Nations also demanded that the Vatican take measures to prevent repeat cases of such as the scandal at Ireland's Magdalene laundries, where girls were forced to work in church-run institutions. I shared that about a month ago, the story of the Magdalene laundries, where girls were essentially enslaved, many for their entire lifetime. The Roman Catholic Church, of course, buried all of the evidence. They took all of the girls that died as a result of the cruel conditions that they lived in, and they just dumped them into unmarked graves in the back of the building. They orchestrated the destruction even of their bones so that they couldn't have a forensic examiner determine how they had been tortured. And, of course, the Roman Catholic Church typically responds by saying, it's not fair. We were helping those little girls. You shouldn't condemn us in this way. And yet, the nation, the government of Ireland, has admitted culpability and complicity and has offered to pay a lifetime of wages to these girls. And all the Irish government did was have some prison laundry done at that facility. but because they now recognize that the laundry was done by Irish slave girls, they're compensating the girls. They'll never give them their lives back, however. And the Roman Catholic Church hasn't offered any compensation, nor even an apology. It's a repulsive organization. The committee is gravely concerned, this is a quote, that the Holy See, that would be the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church, that it has not acknowledged the extent of the crimes that it has committed. It has not taken necessary steps to address cases of child sexual abuse or to protect children, and has adopted policies and practices which have led to the continuation of the abuse and the impunity of the perpetrators, end quote. And that would be a stunning indictment. I mean, probably the worst possible indictment that an international organization could render after a thorough investigation of the evidence available to it of any organization. And if that was rendered of the U.S. military, you'd be embarrassed. If that was rendered of a business, the country that where that business would be headquartered would be embarrassed. If that was rendered of a charity organization, you'd be disgusted. But here's the largest Christian organization in the world claiming that they are God's authorized agents, extraordinarily wealthy. And here the United Nations writes of them, the United Nations is gravely concerned that the Roman Catholic Church has not acknowledged the extent of the crimes that it has committed, that it has not taken the necessary measures to address the cases of child sexual abuse or to protect the children, and that it has adopted policies and practices which have led to the continuation of the abuse and the impunity of the perpetrators. You know, after that kind of a rendering, following a similar judgment in Boston, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, throughout the United States, in Ireland, Germany, Mexico, throughout the world, most recently Australia, where every judicial system, every investigation and thorough examination of the Roman Catholic Church behavior, regionally and nationally, has led to exactly the same conclusion. This conclusion, why does the Roman Catholic Church even exist under these circumstances? We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The United Nations urged the Vatican to immediately remove all known and suspected child sexual abusers from assignment and refer the matter to relevant law enforcement authorities for investigation and prosecution purposes, end quote. Cardinal Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict, was for 15 years, oversaw the single highest office in the Roman Catholic Church other than Pope. It was the office that reviewed all such cases, that all such cases were referred to. And his official policy was that according to the Roman Catholic Church, there was a crime worse than pedophilia, far worse. And that crime was reporting secrets to the media, reporting secrets to judicial sources. That if a Roman Catholic priest were to divulge information leading to the investigation and prosecution of Roman Catholic priests as they committed acts of pedophilia, that not the priest who committed the acts of pedophilia, but the priest who revealed the information, the Edward Snowdens, would be excommunicated. They would be vilified. That according to Cardinal Ratzinger, they would be the lowest form of life, destined to an eternity in hell. The United Nations realizes that. They've read the same documents I've read. They know that this is a deliberate action on behalf of the Roman Catholic Church, that it's the single worst crime that can be perpetrated. Someone in authority abusing a child sexually. And then to have the organization for whom this person in authority over children works to further abuse the victims by silencing them and by rallying around the perpetrator, exonerating them. Nothing you can do. There is nothing in this world you can do worse than that. This United Nations report went on to say, and it's amazing this wasn't reported in on any major station. None. Amazing. Now, here's one of the world's wealthiest, most influential organizations, one with a huge presence in the United States, and CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC, didn't view this as being worthy to report. The United Nations, in their investigative report, nonetheless said, quote, due to a code of silence imposed on all members of the clergy under penalty of excommunication, cases of child sexual abuse have hardly ever been reported to the law enforcement authorities in the countries where those crimes occurred, end quote. So I told you. They read the same reports that I've shared with the listeners on this program. That's exactly what Cardinal Ratzinger demanded. And he became Pope. This is a international body, the United Nations, affirming that the report that I read to you from the Vatican is true. And under those circumstances, the Pope, who is now Pope Emeritus, his predecessor, who is dead, but even dead, his predecessor should be exhumed and forced even over a casket to be tried. Instead, the Roman Catholic Church announces that he's a saint. And Ratzinger should be publicly humiliated, should be indicted and tried. Here's the Italian judicial system. Convicting a girl, Knox, of committing a murder when all of the evidence that they marshaled against her, they made up. Then, when they were scrutinized by the world, said, oh, yeah, you're right. None of it was true. All the evidence that we presented at trial was falsified. She's exonerated. And then moronically says, you know, I think I'm going to try her again. I know there's no evidence, but what the hell? This is fun. And in symbols with Roman Catholicism all over the courts, convicted her this time again without any evidence. And yet they won't bother to indict, try, or convict the greatest criminal in their midst, Pope Benedict, formerly Cardinal Ratzinger. Quote, for the safety of children, we hope that every head of state on the planet reads this and acts upon it, end quote. It's telling the world that the Roman Catholic Church is a disgusting organization, that it's a criminal organization, that it's a sexually perverted organization, and that it is actively involved in the criminal act of covering up their crimes and hindering the investigation of them. This report called for an international investigation of the Magdalene laundries and similar institutions so that those who are responsible can be prosecuted and full compensation paid to the victims and families. It also said priests who had fathered children should be held accountable and made to provide for their upkeep. Quote, "We expect the Holy See and the Pope to follow up on these recommendations to provide, to protect victims and to give them compensation," said Kristin Sandberg, a Norwegian committee member, following the conference's conclusion in Geneva, Switzerland. The Vatican responded by saying that it would examine the report, but it also it accused its authors of interference. It's just such a despicable organization. If you don't come to despise the Roman Catholic Church, there's something seriously wrong with you. If you are a member of the Roman Catholic Church, I dare say maybe you're hopeless. The Vatican, rather than saying, mea culpa, we're wrong, you know, you caught us. We shouldn't have done it. Here are the priests. Let's prosecute them. Here's the evidence. Have at it. We'll never do this again. We'll compensate the victims. We'll make public apologies. We were wrong. No, they say, we were wronged. This United Nations board that committee that oversees the rights of the child to which we signed our pledge is interfering. Interfering? What? By telling you that you ought not have your priests abuse children? By telling you you ought not enable them so they could abuse more children? By telling you you ought not cover up the crime? They're interfering? And they accuse its authors rather than accusing themselves. The Vatican diplomat, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, condemned the report as distorted and unfair, saying it did not take into account changes that the Church has made over the past 10 years to protect children. Obviously, this archbishop is unfamiliar with the tenses that exist in languages. This committee did not say that their conclusions were that the Church previously had policies, that it previously covered up the crimes, that it previously moved priests around, that it was previously had harbored the pedophiles. It says they're doing it right now. It's ongoing. You know, the fact that you've put some lipstick on this pig doesn't change the fact it's still a pig. We have Glenn having called in from Philadelphia. Glenn, I'm still thinking about the actually a fairly profound statement that you made the other day, and I just want to give it credit before we transition here to the Roman Catholic Church, which is why you've called in. But we were telling the story about how the suicide bombers, how the instructor on the suicide bomber class killed 21 of his students. And what you did is you equated that to whoever in the West or anywhere around the world fires the first nuclear missile at a foe. There really is no difference in that and the suicide bomber instructor other than a lot more people are going to die. Because once the first missile, once the first bomb is dropped, it's going to be instant return volley. And millions are going to die, maybe billions. Anyway, that was a profound statement. You have a statement about the Cardinals?
Thank you. Yes. Well, actually, one thing, adding to the nuclear thing you just said, under the Clinton administration, we're supposed to absorb a first strike before firing. So Clinton said, You know, wait to fire back until absorbing the first strike, and one of the admirals said, "Fire back with what?" So, you know, maybe not. If we were the victims, maybe it would stop with us if we didn't fire back. But that's not
likely. You know, the Russians have not that the Russians can universally be trusted, but today they're more trustworthy than we are. They have long stated that they would not initiate a first strike, that they would not strike first. The United States has always refused to acknowledge that. They said, no, we retain the right to strike first.
Right, exactly. So if they refuse to strike and we refuse to launch on warning, then maybe that's a good thing. But then again, there are other players in the mix, so enough of that, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
About Cardinal Ratzinger, he was the head of the Office of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, and that office existed previously in history as the Office of the Inquisition.
Yes, it was
the Inquisition.
Yes.
So it's no great surprise that there would be bad behavior coming out of the Office of the Inquisition.
Yeah, all they did was change the name. But you're right, for 100 or so years or more, it was the Roman Catholic Office of the Inquisition, and now it's the Doctrine of the Faith. Same exact office, same exact result. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Glenn has correctly brought to our attention that the Doctrine of the Faith, which is the organization that Ratzinger was head of for, it was longer than 10 years and shorter than 20 years, but in the range of 10 to 20 years, and I think closer to 15, it not only became this incredible vacuum of all evidence of claims against its priest, covering up everything to protect the image of the Roman Catholic Church, but it was Ratzinger who authored the internal documents that the United Nations was specifically addressing here. So that document that I read on this program is obviously valid based upon the United Nations references to it. They are as bad as the Inquisition was. The only thing that they don't have going for them today is that back in the day that they were the Inquisition, there was no separation between cleric and king. And so they had absolutely universal control over everyone, and they could use the government to round up the those people they didn't like, what they would call their heretics, and then they could torture them in their religious facilities. Today they have to, you know, torture little children, and then they have to run from the authorities because they lost their ability to impose their will through this union of cleric and king.
Wasn't it like a French king or something in the 1100s that deposed the Pope from civil authority or something like that? I'd have to look that up and quote me on that one.
But, yeah, the French definitely began the process because the Inquisition was worse in Spain, but you can't really give the French credit here because the French for a long time provided the army on behalf of the Pope and were amongst the worst in terms of integrating Roman Catholic the total control over a population. The way that it all worked too is that the Roman Catholic Church agreed to tell all of its subjects that it had heard directly from God that the king or queen had been personally authorized by God himself to rule over them, and that they had to obey that or make God really angry with them. In turn, the cleric who had been authorized by the church in this way told their subjects that the same God had told them that the only religion that was lawful to partake in was Roman Catholicism, and that if you if you were not a Roman Catholic, that you didn't have a right to live. And that's basically how they created a feudal system, master-slave state that existed for a better part of a thousand years.
Yeah, it's interesting. We don't see Yahusha or the apostles or, you know, behaving like that. And somehow they extrapolated that out of something. But
Let me finish with your point there. Let me tell you how they went about doing it. Is that they made it a crime punishable by death to have a copy of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, or even of the Christian New Testament, and that the only legal language that anything could be cited from is Latin, and at that time, apart from the church, no one spoke Latin. So what little they said in church when people were required to attend or die, they were hearing in Latin, and none of them understood Latin, and no one was given the opportunity to read for themselves because it was a criminal offense to have a copy of the Torah, prophets, Psalms, or Christian New Testament in private hands.
Right. And much of the public wasn't even literate to begin with, but even in other languages.
Yeah, I love it when people write me and say, if it wasn't for the Roman Catholic Church, you wouldn't even have a Bible. And of course, the statement is ludicrous, but they, for a better part of 1,000 years, made owning one a crime punishable by death.
Wow, how about that? The Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith, the congregation, is like referring to like a subset of the Holy See, the cardinals, the congregation of the cardinals who oversee that. And what's odd is, and when someone rises to the rank of cardinal in the Catholic Church, they are included in Burke's peerage as being among the European royalty. That's actually a way of being promoted into European royalty by becoming a cardinal.
But yes, that's why they get their cardinal's ring, and the ring, just like a royal ring, is people bow down and kiss their ring. So, there's still a legacy of that, and of course during the medieval period, the wealthiest people were kings and Roman Catholic clergy. We'll be back. Stay with us, Glenn, after the commercial break.